In this episode, you'll discover how Laura blew past 30,000 monthly downloads because of two very specific changes.
Welcome to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing, a show helping entrepreneurs with podcasts turn a slow growth show into a rapidly growing positive ROI podcast.
Hello, my name is Anthony Wineri.
I'm Ty Gaucher.
And in this episode, you'll discover why the normal approach to podcast growth keeps most people stuck with slow or even worse, stagnant growth.
The specific growth strategy Laura took to break past declining growth to reach over 30,000 monthly downloads in 11 months.
And finally, why a strong USP is the fastest way to gain traction, especially in a competitive niche.
Welcome back to another Friday episode where we give you a jam-packed step-by-step guide to getting more growth and monetization from your podcast.
So look, Tug, I guess where the hell was Laura before she joined the Game Analyst Academy and we made these changes?
Well, Laura's podcast is called Speak Up, and it's a communication show for introverts specifically. And she is probably in these days world-class as a podcast veteran. Her first episode released in 2016. And she was already doing this thing for 7 years before meeting us, and she'd worked up to a very impressive 4,000 downloads a month, which for a lot of podcasters is enough to hit their wildest dreams. That's pretty good going, objectively. But despite running the podcast for years and years, Laura's show had really become something she described as having a life of its own. That can be a good thing, to be fair. But what this meant for her was it was very homegrown, minimal marketing effort. And even though she brought an editor to clean up production, the show was still really running very passively. It was kind of just she just does what the show does. Like, you know, there was not really much strategy. She was just interviewing guests that kind of fit the bill, talking about what she wanted with an umbrella, having an editor to help with the admin of it. But there was no strategic attention. So it was just going in whatever path it went in.
Yeah, we see this oftentimes with a lot of podcasters, right? And for Laura and herself, like, she wasn't actively promoting with loads of intentions. She was kind of doing the bare minimum. So what this looked like was she had a LinkedIn profile. She would post promotional clips on social media on her profile when a new episode was released. And she just kind of assumed, look, if I just keep posting this content, then the growth would naturally keep happening, right? And again, you might have felt that at a certain point of your show where you first initially launched a podcast, it picks up momentum and you feel like, oh my God, this is great. The podcast has grown, it's growing. And eventually it kind of starts to plateau. Growth slows down. And that's kind of where Laura was at this point. Her growth was gradually going up more and more and more, but then it started to flatline. And by the end of 2023, Laura started to notice this gradual decline. And she thought at first, oh, it's temporary. I've had time before where, you know, I have a fluctuation in my growth. But then the trend just kept on going down. And at this point, she was kind of having a lot of concerns, a lot of frustration, especially because she was already so busy being a coach, being a business owner, that she didn't really have the time to try to figure this out on her own. She couldn't really pinpoint, like, hey, this was working, the podcast was growing, but now it's not. And look, if you've ever felt kind of like overwhelmed or just unsure about what you're doing differently or what you could be doing differently to turn things around, that's exactly where Laura was.
Right. What did she do? She joined the Get More Listeners Academy. And this episode is not a big self-promotion for our amazing personalized podcast growth program and monetization that helps people smash past their downloads, make money,
and make a shit ton of money.
Yeah, I was getting there. But that is the key thing that she did to go from 4,000 to over 30,000 a month within the space of a year. So Laura really realized that something needed to change. And she understood that if no changes were happening and if she wasn't growing, then she was dying, essentially, right? We've all heard the saying. It wasn't going up, it was only going down slightly. And if that didn't change, then all the time and money and resources she'd invested was for nothing. Later, she actually called that big decision to join us almost the best decision of her life. If I can make it to almost the best decision of her life, I'll take that. We're not marrying people or anything like that, so you know, I'll take almost.
So look, that's all great. We're tooting our own horn, but what changes we make? How does this all work? With every client that kind of joins the Get More Listeners Academy, We start off by auditing their show. Now, for us, every single podcast is different. Your podcast is different to your neighbors, to the next guy. Everyone's got a different show, different attributes. So we always audit the show as soon as they join to figure out, hey, why isn't the show growing or monetizing at the rate that it should be? And that gives us a very clear idea of what areas of the podcast to focus in on. So again, we're not just wasting time trying to optimize something that's already optimized. We're only focusing on the few things that's going to drive massive growth. So earlier, like I mentioned, right, Laura had this mindset of, if I just build the podcast, they will come. And it actually worked, which is crazy, right? It was working. For 7 years, the podcast was growing more and more and more. And then she kind of hit this trough where she was now kind of plateaued and stagnated at 4,000 monthly downloads. So why was it working in the first place? This kind of build it and they will come. And I guess what actually changed to make the show stop growing?
Well, I think a good way to look at it, or a good analogy here, is if 5 years ago or 7 years ago, like Laura, you were the only food truck in a small town, right? Like the only burger stand. And you could just sell, really, it didn't have to be good at all. It could be like half cooked, like the bread could be stale. there could be loads of vegetables or no vegetables. There could be meat options and vegan options. It really doesn't matter. But everyone would line up because you're the only one in town. But now in 2025, you blink, life passes, and suddenly there's like 100 food trucks in a small town. And you can get gourmet tacos, you can get sloppy tacos, you can get vegan bowls, you can get meat platters, you can get Korean barbecue, you name it. But if you're still selling the old menu, then what happens over time? Your popularity lowers, you become invisible, and you just start getting to a point where you're not growing, and eventually that feels like you're dying, to put it quite dramatically. And that's what happened to Laura's show.
Because here's the thing, right? Laura's show, when she launched it back in 2016, 2017, it used to stand out by default by simply just being a show that was in a popular niche where there was tons of people interested in leadership and effective communication. And at a time when she launched the podcast, there really wasn't that many other podcasts to compete against. It was kind of just her and maybe a couple other people, right? So just by nature of just supply and demand, lots of people needed her show, and there wasn't that many people delivering that value. It made it so much easier for podcasts to gain traction. But fast forward several years later, right? It's now 2023 and her podcast has plateaued. The podcast environment has totally shifted. It's changed dramatically. Podcasting has exploded, it's grown huge, and so has the competition. But the issue of Laura is the fact that her strategy and her approach remain the same. The show that was once unique just by the sheer fact that there wasn't that many shows out there, now just blended in to the noise of a bunch of other shows who are doing the exact same thing. So the show doesn't stand out anymore.
And like you said, this is the first thing we uncover when someone joins our program is what is that biggest thing that we have to fix. Don't get me wrong, we have our process. And if you've been here long enough, you'll know that we have a specific process that we take people through. But of course, there are still areas that need more focus than others. And there's still certain people's blind spots, issues that are more prevalent in certain niches. And of course, this has to be taken into consideration because growing any podcast is different. And in Laura's case, her biggest issue or roadblock to growth was that she needed a USP, a unique selling point. So how exactly did we do this, Anthony?
Well, I think it's probably best that we start off by explaining what most people think a USP is. And it's important to know that within, you know, the program, we have a very unique formula. And we're going to go into that in just a moment. But again, I think it's important to clarify what most people think a unique show is, that it actually isn't, right? We kind of hear this a lot, like, right, people kind of say, oh, my show's unique. If I ask the average podcaster, like, what makes your show unique? The answer would be, you know, saying how it is, you know, giving actionable advice, ignoring the BS and telling people the truth.
Oh, those now, are all classics. Oh, or classics, even my favorite one, yeah. Oh, I have really cool, interesting guests who share really unique stories.
Now, look, the reason why this is probably a bigger issue than most podcasters think is because, think about it this way. It's like an Olympic athlete just saying, hey, you know, I'm special because I train hard. Whereas training hard is doesn't make you special as an Olympic athlete or an athlete of that matter. It's just a given. Like, exactly. You, of course you train hard. You're an Olympic athlete. Why else wouldn't you train hard? It'd be weird if you didn't train hard.
Yeah.
Same goes for podcasting, right? Saying stuff like, I say how it is, I'm being real, I'm being authentic. That's part of the gig. That just should be part of the gig. But on a deeper level, right, just saying like, oh, I say how it is, or you know, I'm very real. That stuff is very subjective. It's very qualitative. Meaning is not objective. You might think that you're saying it how it is and you're being real, and someone else might come along and say, from their opinion, well, you're not giving how it is. You're not real. So again, if you're trying to build a unique show and it's subjective, it can't really be that unique because it's subjective. It's qualitative. It's just opinion. We need it to be objectively unique if we wanted to stand out in a crowded market. And that's why we created this USP formula that we help Laura use and that you can start using today to help you, again, stand out in a very competitive space. So I guess, Tyke, what exactly is this formula?
So the formula is specific targeting plus weekly output multiplied by the unique concept of the show. If this sounds a bit lofty at the moment, don't worry, we're going to break each part down. So specific targeting refers to who specifically are you going after? How specific is your ideal listener? So let's say, you know, it's like A plus B times C. Specific targeting plus weekly output times unique concept of the show. If your specific targeting is busy entrepreneurs with a podcast, that's pretty specific. If it's just podcasters, it's less specific. If it's just content creators, that's even less specific. If it's just entrepreneurs, that's even less specific. So there's a sliding scale of how specific your targeting, i.e. what type of listener you're trying to attract, is. So in Laura's case, it was a general communications podcast. There was, you know, she would have said it was best for introverts, but that wasn't even really clear by listening. It was essentially just a communication show, which again is very broad. It's like having just a business show or just a relationship show.
A leadership show.
Yeah, exactly. But very quickly after joining, when we worked through things together, we focused on executive presence for introverts struggling to get recognition at work. Absolute night and day difference. If you think of that sliding scale, that targeting is the one end of the scale, the better end of the scale, whereas general communication, just like anyone to communicate, i.e. every human being ever, it's like it's meaningless, right? It's easy to get drowned out. So ultimately, we went from a wide market targeting to targeting a very underserved audience within her niche.
Now, Tyke, mate, when I was actually writing out the outline for this episode, I kind of had a realization, right? We didn't know this at the time by any means, but upon reflection, I've kind of just connected a few dots. We unknowingly recreated the original environment that led her podcast, that led Laura to kind of grow her podcast in the first place. And we did this by becoming more niche. So what we did is we have now a high demand topic, meaning broadly speaking, effective communication. But then we narrowed in a bit more in that niche and we targeted, again, an underserved population in that community, meaning there were less people who were serving introverts specifically who were trying to get better at their executive presence and their effective communication and their leadership skills. So just by becoming way more specific and less broad, we instantly started to stand out way more for the right listeners. So that's the first part, right? As soon as you get more clear and more specific, you're again making your show, objectively speaking, way more unique because objectively speaking, there's less show targeting that particular group of people. That's objective. You can't argue that. So that's the first thing, but we're not done yet. The next part of the equation is, of course, the weekly output. So what does that mean? How does it relate to Laura? And more importantly, what does it mean for you and how can you use this to grow your podcast?
Well, weekly output is simply the amount of times per week you release an episode. For most podcasters, this is one, right? It's kind of the bog standard weekly. If you just ask someone what's a podcast, most people just assume it's a weekly 60-minute interview. But podcasts can be anything. It can be daily. It can be yearly. Wouldn't recommend it. But your output is something that you have complete creative control over. And if we think about why this matters, I mean, we've done whole episodes on why this matters, but why it matters particularly here within the concept of being unique, it takes people time to get used to your voice and style, right? For new listeners to warm up to you. So how can we quickly shrink the time it takes to like, know, and trust is we can put more episodes out and then just accelerate that process by having people listening to us more. It's like, you know, if you hear a new album from an artist or a band for the first time, you kind of, I mean, me personally, and I'm very into music, I kind of forget all the songs and I don't know which song was which the first time I listened to it. By the third time I've listened to it, I'm starting to get my favorites, right? By the fifth time I listen to it, I know all the songs and I've got my clear favorites, and I'm probably even skipping the ones I don't like. Is that the same with you, Anthony, or is that just me?
To me, I'm not like picking out necessarily favorites, but for me, what I find, Tiger, is like my experience of the album shifts. Like when I first hear the album, I'm kind of like, do I like this? Do I not? It's kind of got a new style and tone, and I'm having to become refamiliarized with the style, you know? And the exact same thing happens for your podcast new listeners. You know, when a new listener discovers your podcast, guess what? They need to get used to your voice. They need to build that like, know, and trust. Why this is important is because, let's say, for example, it takes them 4 episodes to finally just get used to and familiar with your tonality and voice and your style and your banter, and you're publishing an episode once per week, it will take them an entire month to get used to your voice and your tone and your style. And that's if they don't get distracted, pull in a different direction, and completely forget about the show. Take them a month, right? Whereas, let's just say you published, you know, twice a week. Now, out of nowhere, it takes them 2 weeks to build the like, know, and trust. So not only do you, one, objectively have a different show, because a typical show has episodes once per week, but you're also shrinking the time to the like, know, and trust. So what does it mean for Laura Teig?
Well, she went from weekly to 3 times a week. And you know what? She did it without tripling her workflow, all because she started doing more solo episodes. And she started doing actually a very specific bite-sized 5-minute episode, which we're going to talk about in a moment. So if you're thinking, yeah, that sounds great, but I don't have more hours to spend on the podcast, that's okay. Most people don't. Laura didn't either. But there's ways of getting a lot more out of your time recording. It just depends how much you want the podcast to work and how much you're prepared to put your best foot forward with it. So Laura went from weekly to 3 times, and obviously her downloads increased, right, because there's more episodes to listen to. But her listeners per episode also increased massively, meaning she was getting more listeners listen to more of her show, which you can imagine, again, what this does for the know, like, and trust. For old listeners as well as the new ones coming in, it's a lot easier to stay top of mind rather than, again, forgetting about Laura, maybe not coming back, or being like, Laura being someone's 5th favorite creator, it's a lot easier to become the number 1 favorite. And don't even get me started on what this does for the algorithms. If Apple and Spotify see you publishing a lot of good content and people listening to a lot of it, that's actually how you can start breaking the charts and showing up on page 1 and all that good stuff. And again, that is for another time, but there are massive benefits algorithmically for that too. So, you know, we've got the first 2 bits of the equation. We've got the specific targeting, which before was general communication, now is introverts learning to increase their executive presence in a corporate role. We've got the old weekly output, which was once a week, is now 3 times a week. You can see how this equation is getting a complete makeover. But what's the final piece, Anthony? We multiply all that by how unique the concept of the show is. Talk us through that.
So I think a good way to kind of visualize the power of this is, you know, let's imagine we go back to the food truck, right? And you wanted to turn things around. You realize, hang on a minute, I've got a bunch of these new people coming in. They're taking on my business. So decide, you know what, I want to turn things around. You spray your truck in all white with a sign and an image that just says flat out, all black burgers. Because you decide, I'm going to just figure out a way to make my burgers, my buns, my beef, my cheese, my onions, everything black. Now think about this. What happens to the visibility of your business? You go from being kind of invisible and no one's going to talk about you, to now you stand out. When someone walks by, you pique their interest. You are something totally different. And, you know, whilst people can get burgers every day, all day, if they wanted to, they can only get your all black burgers directly from you. So it feels special. And out of nowhere, you now have people who are eating your burger, enjoying it. And as long as the burger's actually good, they're going to share on social media. They're going to tell their friends about it. Anytime they're at the food court, they're going to come to you if they want a burger compared to competitors.
So what does that mean for podcasting? Well, for Laura, everyone else had a normal interview-based show on leadership or on communication, right? Laura started doing the Genius 5 to 10 minute segment, solo segment, reverse engineering communication and charisma characteristics of A-list celebrities and figures that made them great communicators and leaders. A fascinating case study style episode that was easy to do. Again, it was like 10 minutes or less to record. Instantly made it clear from the outside, i.e. even before you hit play, you can see that this is different to a guest interview. And naturally hits exactly on what the audience needs. It's like literally giving you a trait that someone ahead of you has used to get the outcome that you want in this case. And this was, again, I can't stress enough how good of a segment this was. And this is kind of the force multiplier here. This is the multiplier of how unique her concept of the show is that, you know, we can make a podcast specific and we can triple the output. And that will only have as much of an effect on its growth as the force multiplier of how unique the concept of the show is allows for. Yeah, I hope we're keeping this like understandable and at a good level because I know this might be a lot to take in. I hope that makes sense. This is just the thing that dictates to what extent the magnitude of how powerful all the other changes are.
That makes total sense. And look, now she was in a spot where she was positioned as something totally different. She stood out. It picked up loads of traction. And again, why does this happen? Well, we recreated the initial environment that caused her growth in the first place, meaning we made her show way more specific and niche, serving an underserved group who, again, had a lot of high demand for her content, lots of introverts in executive roles, but not many podcasts serving them. We increased the output to have way more touch points to ensure she remains top of mind for new listeners in a much more competitive and chaotic world, which made it easier for them to build a like, know, and trust. It made it easier for them to have Laura's podcast as part of their routines in their busy lives. And finally, we made the content unique and different so that each listener that listens for the first time can't get the content anywhere else, so they keep coming back for more. Because what? It matches their needs perfectly. So here are a few things to walk away with from this episode. The first is this. Know that what got you here won't get you there. When Laura first launched her podcast, the environment was less competitive. It was early stage growth and it just happened naturally. But the markets evolve, the landscape changes, and the strategies that once worked, that organic growth style of content, I just put it out, build it, they will come. That doesn't work anymore in today's crowded landscape. It doesn't just stall growth. It actually guarantees a decline in your podcast success. So standing still in a fast moving world is the exact same as falling behind. So for you, where are you still relying on strategies that used to work in the past, even though the landscape around you has totally changed?
I love that. And so look, another thing to take away here is that success without intentional strategy is just delayed failure, honestly. For years, Laura's show appeared successful from the outside because it had a good amount of downloads and it looked like what all the typical shows should be, right? Interviews with cool people and a communication show, Laura had credibility, etc. A growing archive, lots of episodes, a good amount of loyal fans, but without a strong strategic foundation, the cracks were always there. They were just very much hidden under the surface because of, again, things like the time she joined the market and the time and place of what she was doing. But the truth is that without constant evolution or without really, again, doing that intentional strategy for the future, early success just delays inevitable stagnation. And I think a really good thing for you to think about as you're listening right now to think, you know, where do you fall? Where does your podcast stand with this? Is Are you building a system and a podcast that is designed to grow long term? Or if not, could you just be coasting on momentum that will eventually run out? Your download so far, does that come from things you're doing that will continue? Or does it come from things that are designed to run out, such as a big guest that brought an audience once? Or maybe you just launched and you told all your friends and family about your episodes.
And finally, your greatest threat isn't failure, it's simply blending in. Most podcasters don't fail dramatically. They kind of just slowly fade into the background because they don't stand out anymore. Right? Laura's show wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. She was never a bad podcaster. It was just at that point when things got competitive, it was just another show. Yet another communications podcast about leadership. Who cares, right? When listeners can't instantly tell why you're different, they have no reason to choose you versus the number one authority in that space because you're blending in. So look, the question becomes, what would make your podcast undeniably different at first glance, objectively unique? Without needing a 5-minute explanation, these are some questions to ponder that'll help you take your show to that next level. Well, with that being said, we'll catch you in the next podcast episode. So if what was said in this episode resonates with what you're going through, if you're tired or feeling like you're stuck, and if you've been at it consistently for years, putting in the work, the likelihood is that you have great content. That piece is already sorted. But it doesn't matter how great your content is, if you don't have the right strategy and the right systems to predictably grow and monetize your podcast, then I want you to do something. Take a moment, pull out your phone, click the first link in our show notes and book in a free strategy session with myself, or visit getmorelisteners.com/growmypodcast. Find a time that works for you, book in a slot, and on our call, I'll pinpoint with you exactly what's been holding your show back from faster growth.